You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Alright, good morning everyone. And today we are actually on a journey of our series and that is entitled On a Journey. Now, as we look into the life of Jesus, the goal of this series is actually for us to see the perfect example of discipleship. So this entire series is really all about being a disciple of Christ. What is the real picture of a disciple? And kumbaga, if you are a disciple, how does it look like in your life? So it encourages us to actually follow God, fish for people, and fellowship with believers. So it's somewhat like this. So homo you hear hilig mo o God? Road trips, joyrides, or for Dumaguete people, OBT. You know OBT? One big tuyok, right? We're going to simply go around with our friends. And that's something that we do enjoy being here in Dumaguete. So the picture of discipleship, the picture of having a relationship with God, having a journey with God, is somewhat like that. It is being part of a journey. It's part of a road trip. Kumbaga, na what's more important is actually the journey more than the destination. Yes, the destination is something that we desire, but isn't it that the journey in itself is an experience that we so enjoy? It's meant to be enjoyable. It's meant to be with people. And isn't it na it's more fun if you have your friends with you, right? So that is a picture of what it means to be in a relationship with God. So, and let me read these verses right here, taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. It says here, I am the true vine, and my Father, the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So the verses that we have read, this is part of Jesus' final discourse, meaning it is somewhat the last will and testament. Kumbaga, it contains the things na a special person or a great person would want to leave his close friends. This is something like a comfort to a grief that's going to be in the future, and it's something that what the person would want his or her friends to actually do once he is gone. Okay? So this is Jesus' final discourse that's seen in John chapters 14 to 17. Now, to whom were these addressed? These were addressed to the disciples. Yes, there are believers, but more to that, they're actually followers. Now, there is a great difference to become a believer and to be a follower. To believe is simply to know. Kumbaga, it does not necessarily mean that you're following the commandments. Okay, so they are not just believers, but they are followers. And they are not just followers, but they are intimate friends. Now, this is what I would want for us to actually receive here this morning. This is the mindset that we are to have. Now, hearing the words that we are going to hear in the following verses, let's make that the premise of what we're going to do. So, imagine you are one of the disciples, okay? Vineyards. Vineyards is something that is very important in the olden times. So, vineyards are important part of agricultural economy. And in countries without pure and uncontaminated water, wine has often served as alternative. So basically, wine is part of the meal. For those places na they don't have an access to plenty water that's actually fresh and clean, wine became their alternative. And we begin to see here that these are the parts that we're going to talk about this morning. Para kuan lang ba, klaro sa atong mind. So the vine right here is that big part right there and the branches are the one that actually bears fruit, okay? So that is the picture that we have to have in mind this morning. Verse 1, it says here, I am the true vine. This is Jesus himself talking to us, okay? Imagine, he is talking to us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, meaning he is like the farmer who tends to the grapes or to the vines. But every time in the Old Testament, before these things right here, in the Old Testament, each and every time the word vineyard or vine is actually mentioned, it refers to Israel. Are you familiar with Israel? God's chosen people, right? And Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 17, let me just read this to you because it gives you a picture when God actually chosen Israel. It says here, "Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes." So again, this is talking about Israel. Kumbaga, the picture is that God himself has actually prepared things for Israel. He actually took out the stones, giving you a picture that Israel was actually taken from Egypt. And now they are placed in a place where they can actually flourish. They were brought into the land of flowing milk and honey. Remember that? But it says here, Israel, no matter how God perfectly prepared everything, Israel still messed up. It yielded wild grapes. Even if it has witnessed God's miracles and experienced for themselves what it means to be loved and to be protected by God, they chose to rebel each and every time. They went on actually having false gods and worship them. It's like having another affair that is apart from God and which is against God's commandment. Continuing on, it says here, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done it? When I looked for it, to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry." And it is again repeated in the book of Jeremiah, that's chapter 2, verse 21. It says here, "Yet I planted a choice of vine, wholly of pure seed. How then have I turned degenerate and become a wild vine?" It gives us a picture that Israel, or God's people, no matter how great things are actually promised and given to them, it's just like us. We are great at messing up God's plan. Sometimes we say that, "Lord, what's happening in my life?" We question God, "Lord, why are these things happening in my life?" But guess what? Most of the time, those are not actually punishments from God. What we encounter that we do not desire are actually consequences of the sin that we have done in the past. Consequences of past decisions that we felt like would benefit us, but only for a short time. Again, it doesn't matter if God has given everything to us because of our fallen nature, we would always mess up God's plan. But the great thing about this, that is the bad news, and God has actually planned for Israel to fall, but still, because of God's love, he has sent Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." Never mind the vineyard, never mind the vine that was supposed to actually yield great fruits. "I am here, and now I am going to be your vine. Abide in me." Now, who is a disciple? So basically, those who are called to abide in Christ are not just any other people, but they are meant to be called disciples. Now, what is a picture of a disciple, or who is a disciple? Verse 2 says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." Take note. It says, "every branch in me." It didn't say na a branch that is on a different vine. It gives us a picture that that branch is actually connected to God. Now, why is it still not bearing fruit? It gives us a picture that not all who are connected to God are His disciples. This is the picture of people who says, "Lord, Lord, help me, God." On a Sunday, comes here in church, praises and worship powerfully, but does different things for his own agenda for the rest of the week. Who comes here thinking that our horns are going to be cut simply by being in this church or being in another church, and he or she is free to do the things for the rest of the week. Guess what? It does not work like that. A picture of that is being in Hong Kong Disneyland, but you are just at the gate, seeing everyone, enjoying the rides, having the times of their lives. But you are there, but you are not there. It's something like it's so close, but yet so far. It could actually happen. There is a great difference by simply being here and experiencing the great love of God, obeying God, having a relationship with Him. And my prayer is that we are not going to be those people that comes here but begins to just be present, merely being present, but not actually experiencing the fullness of the ride, the fullness of the journey. My prayer is na naman lang jud ta dire every Sunday, na ato nang lubos-lubosan na lang jud ang experience with God. That when we come here, we don't just stand during praise and worship and look at people, but we are to fully express our love to God. He Himself gave His life for us. Did we deserve those things? No. But still, He gave His all simply because He loves us. What's our excuse to not give our love back to God? We are shy and we want to look cool. Guess what? There's nothing cooler than being in a relationship with God. It says here, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. Now this is talking to those people who are actually having now with the fruits. Or someone that actually bears fruits. And still, even though they bear fruit, God still prunes them. Giving us a picture that, friends, even if we come here and we have a relationship with God, we would still experience hardships in lives. We will still experience testings and struggles and trials. Why? Because they are opportunities for us to actually bear more fruit. God disciplines whom He loves. And if we want to be loved by God, we don't just want the best things in life. We want to enjoy even being in the down times of our lives, being in the valleys of our lives, having the problems in our life. Yes, they at that very moment, it hurts. But when you look back, from the moment that God would deliver you from that place, it is such a wonderful thing to know nga it is not about us. It's not about our strength. It's not about the qualities that we have, if we're good looking or not, if we're good in speaking or not. It's always about the grace of God. Again, the purpose is still so that it bears more fruit. A disciple is someone who bears fruits. It's not even a question if a disciple should bear fruit. A disciple simply becomes someone who bears fruits. But don't worry, there's no pressure. Why? That's something that we are going to discover later on. Verse 3 says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Now this takes away the pressure from us. This is the good news, that we are already clean. When God called us, God did not say, "Clean yourself first before you come to me. You bear fruit first before you come to me." No. God said, "You are already clean." How many of you here loves to hear that from God? That you are already clean. Go on now. And it says here, "You are already clean." And a better part of it is found in verses 14 and 15. He says there, "You are my friends." Imagine the same way that you have your friends. Isn't it the friends that we talk to? Doesn't matter unsa ang topic. Right? We do enjoy the conversation. Bisa maglakaw patadre to Dawin. Mag-chika-chika rata. Uy, Dawin naman di ay. because we enjoy the journey. That is how we are meant to walk with God as well. God is our friend. He is not just someone, a mighty king. Yes, He is a king, but He is our friend as well. And no longer do I call you servants. Wow. It means that you are no longer here to work and serve only, but you are a son. You are a daughter. Everything that God owns is yours. Verse 16 says, you did not choose me. You did not choose me. Isn't it God that I was just invited here and I had a choice? Should I really worship God or I want my life? But Lord, I chose you. Wow. God said, you did not choose me. Even the moment that you have been brought into this place, into this family, into this community, it has been unfolding because of God's plan. Even before we were born, God has actually pursued us. Even when we were sinners, and even if we are still sinners, God is pursuing us. He keeps on choosing and choosing and choosing us each and every day. Ben and Ben says, araw, araw. Diba? Pipiliin ka. God chooses us each and every day. That's what it means to love. And it says there, but I chose you and appointed you. Meaning each and every one of us here, no excuse. It's not only for the person seated beside you, in front of you or at your back, but I am talking to you. God appointed you. Meaning there is a great plan and the purpose why you are here. There's a plan why you have been planted into this place, why you have the friends that you have, the classmates that you have, the family that you have, the place that you are actually in. You have been appointed. Meaning you have a mission. A disciple is someone who has a genuine relationship with God. And to have a genuine relationship with God means that you are loved, you are forgiven, and you are accepted. No excuse. But my life is like this. No excuse. But I am still a sinner. No excuse. But I don't amount to anything. I'm just like this. No excuse. It's not about you. It's about the love that God wants us to experience. There is certainly nothing left to prove. When we come into this family, we don't come here saying that I did this throughout the week. I feel like I'm better than you. I feel like I'm not worthy just like you. No. All of us here are actually broken in a very specific way, unique way. But still, it is God who makes our faith perfect and complete. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. That verse right there is somewhat like a cause and effect thing. Meaning, if we have a choice, we have been given the choice to actually abide in God. And what happens when we abide in God? God abides in us. The word abide simply means to remain stable and fixed, continuing and enduring for a very long time. To simply abide is to be steadfast, to be at the place where God wants you to be, to endure whatever things that you're going to experience, and trust that God has a plan for you. To abide is to simply cling on to God. God did not require us anything else but to abide in Him. A disciple is someone who abides in Christ completely. No excuse. It's not like abiding in God but the other foot is somewhere else, or abiding in God but abiding in something else, not your money, not your career, not your family name, not anything else. But we are supposed to abide in Christ alone. Sometimes kasi we put so much pressure on us. The pressure is for us to perform, to amount to anything, to win more souls to God. No. God simply says we are to abide in Him. To abide, to remain, to be still. No pressure. Simply enjoy what you have with God. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. The fruit right there is not an effect of your efforts. It's not an effect of the years and years of studying and amounting to being ready and preaching the gospel because you are perfect and you are great. No, it's an effect of abiding in God. Gives us a picture that the command is to abide. The command is not really on bearing fruit. Take note, there's a difference. God did not command us to bear fruit, but simply to abide. And when we begin to abide, it's simply going to do its thing on its own. To abide in God completely, we can't just help but overflow. It's not something that we work on so much now to bear fruit. I need to do this. I need to plan this for this person. I need to plan my schedule. But sometimes the working part, the desire to bear fruit, that takes us away from abiding in Christ, right? Sometimes we are too pressured in bearing fruit that we separate ourselves from God. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Guess what? Apart from God, everything that we have right now, including your love life, including your finance, your career, your seeking of success, it won't really matter in the end. What matters is how much you work on abiding in God, how much you have grown your relationship with God. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Guess what, church? Friends, apart from Christ, all we have is a destination. All we have is a destination. Apart from Christ, no matter how successful you become in this lifetime, it's just going to be years. If you trade this number of years for the eternity that you have with God, then we will be doomed. Our destination is somewhere that is in fire, and we are going to burn. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, good news. Isn't this something that we want? Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Amazing, right? So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You know how confident God is with this one? Because when he said this, when he says na the premise kasi is you abide in God. So whatever you wish for or you pray for would always something that would honor God. A disciple, or the prayer of a disciple, is one that honors God. When God says anything, he means anything that could bring him the glory. It's not for your own comfort, it's for your growth and for the glory of God. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. Want to highlight the phrase right there? My Father is glorified. If we begin to do things that could actually glorify God more than what could glorify us, what could sustain us, what could give us the most enjoyment in life, guess what? Where you glorify God is where your extreme joy, peace, and happiness and fulfillment in life would be. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. Those two things are actually not two different things, but it is one and the same. A disciple is someone who honors God. Question, is everything in our life right now completely honoring God? Every part of my life. My prayer is that God points that very specific thing that we are afraid of surrendering to God right now. I'm not going to ask anyone here or one by one, but I trust and I believe in the relationship that God has with you. And allow God to point that specific part of your life where you have not yet surrendered to God. Because whatever we do not surrender to God, He cannot begin to work on. You're always asking God to improve that area of your life, but are you really willing for Him to move in that area of your life? Do you really want Him to touch that area of your life for healing, for reconciliation, for success? Remember, anything that you ask from God, according to His will, it's always going to be a yes and amen in Him. We keep on saying the fruits, bear fruits, do this, do that, to bear fruit. What are the fruits that we're talking here? The word fruit is from the Greek word karpos, which means a product or result, outcome or something. Meaning it's not just something, or it's not something that we, yes, we're going to do things to bear fruit, but again, it's just going to be a result. Once we enjoy doing the journey, the fruit is going to be something that's automatic. And it has been mentioned 8 times in those verses that we have read. From chapters, in the chapter that we have read, that's John chapter 15. This is a picture of a fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 says it. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is something that is for us. And once we begin to have a relationship with God, these are the things that we begin to enjoy. These are the fruits that we begin to share to the world. These are the fruits that we give to our friends. And isn't it the best gifts that we could actually give the person that we actually love? Having that joy, the peace. Isn't this the things that we seek for in life? Isn't it the reason why we work so hard so that we can have the assurance that we're going to have peace and joy? But guess what? Peace and joy are going to be fruits of your relationship with God. It cannot be found anywhere else. If that's the case, then we could have seen every rich people become so happy and so satisfied. We could have seen the most famous people that they're so satisfied that they don't do anything else anymore simply because they're just contented. But we see otherwise. Those people are the very ones that sometimes commit suicide, who breaks their own families, who has problems with addiction, and all these things. It's not actually in this world, but it is in your relationship with God. That is the eternal fruits of having a relationship with God. Proverbs 11 says naman, the fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. Romans 1 verse 13, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often plan to come to you, that I might have some fruit among you. Meaning, a fruit is also a person. It's someone that we bring and someone that we bless with the fruits of our relationship with God. And it is our desire for them to actually abide in God as well. That they encounter the great things that we are actually encountering. The peace, the joy, the security that we so enjoy right now, being forgiven and having that freedom in Christ. If we don't begin to share it to others, isn't it that we are going to be too selfish to enjoy the relationship with God on our own? Don't you think our friends, our families, our neighbors deserve to be forgiven, to have the life that we have, to have the enjoyment that we have coming here, the security, the peace, the joy? Aren't we supposed to share the good things in this life? But my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. This right here simply means that a proof shows when love is genuine. A proof is not something that we work hard for, but it's simply going to be automatic when we have a relationship with God. It simply means that it's the overflow. It's what's going to be seen in us. Isn't it that when we're happy with people, people will begin to see, blooming lagi karon. Do we work hard to be blooming? But each and every time we enjoy life and we are inspired, we are loved, And at the same time, we begin to love others. Isn't it that it's just going to be an overflow? We prove that we are disciples of God if we make disciples. We bear fruit that your fruit should also abide. Meaning, the fruits, the external fruits that we have are those people that we extend our internal fruits to. Meaning, these people needs to abide as well in God so they themselves experience and have the fruits, the internal fruits, and they can share it to others. And those others supposed to be abiding in God, and that's supposed to be the story of the Bible. We bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide in Christ as well. A disciple is someone who makes disciples. Friends, if we truly love God, if we truly have that genuine relationship with God, it would show by how you respond to how other people treat you. It would show when you are driving. Okay? That's always my example because that's all my everyday life. When I am driving, I become angry sometimes with other drivers. But take note, being angry, side note, being angry is not a sin. But what you do in your anger, that's going to be a sin, okay? But the point is, we are supposed to be people who makes disciples. Here, let me show a picture of you, what it means to be part of this community. And we see here victory groups of all ages. We have here parents. We have solo parents, single moms, and YP young professionals, and people in the campus. All ages. And even here, we are blessed to have the opportunity to preach the gospel to the policemen as well. You see, we enjoy life more when we are connected. It is always engraved in us the need to be part of a community. And you begin to enjoy this church, this family, if you connect yourselves with us, with people around here. And it's more fun that way, okay? That's why I encourage each and every one of us here to be part, to be connected in one of our victory groups. It happens each day of the week. And you can actually find the people whom you have the same season with. You could be a young professional, a student, a working professional, a single, male or female. Wala yung requirements. You simply need to come. Now, what does it mean for us and how do we respond? When we have a relationship with God, isn't it that we enjoy life all the more? Troubles may come, trials may come, but still, there is that certain peace. Now, at the end of the day, there is hope in God. And when we begin to fully enjoy that, it simply shows in our actions. People would begin to question, there is something that changed in this person. This guy right here, before, dali kayo siya mangisog, and there's really something different sa imo. And when people would begin to see that, they'll begin to ask what's different with the person. And they begin, and you begin to preach the gospel, you begin to connect the person, and that person begins to know who Christ is. That's the call and the appointed command that God has given us. Each and every one of us here are meant to make disciples. We are meant to honor God. Discipleship is not just for the leaders, for those kanang mga active ra kayo, ako, goer ako. No. God never meant for anyone to simply become a goer. Okay? We are meant to actually be doers of the word, obeyers of the commands of God each and every second of our life. And we are meant to enjoy it each and every moment of our life as well. So my challenge and my prayer is that you begin to encounter God in its purest form, a genuine relationship with God, that you cannot begin to contain yourself but preach the same message to other people. Because that is what this world needs. Hope, love, peace, joy.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.